Okay, let me start out by saying this, because in the middle of the text I'm going to read, and I'm going to start reading, not just yet, but we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, in verses where I'm going to start verse 12 through verse 26. Right in the middle there, there is a very, very interesting section that, you know, I find it to be quite amazing, and we're going to get there in a moment. But first, I want to start out by using this illustration that's going to, you're going to see it more relevant as we read the scriptures. But how many of you know what a will and testament is? A last will and testament. Anyone know what that is? How many of you know what a will is? Just a will, plain will. Okay. Okay, a will is that, you know, before a person dies, not to be, you know, but before a person dies, you know, they want to have everything in place. You know, if I was the owner of this, and, you know, I write up a will, I say, okay, the Radio Shack keyboard I have, I want it to go to, okay, so that when I die and they read the will, you know, there's not going to be a fight over who gets this. You see what I mean? That's what we're talking about. We see something like that in the text that we're going to read here in just a few moments, okay? Where Solomon makes an interesting observation of life, okay, about who's going to get what. Because we find that there's, when especially a person who has a lot, who had a successful life, who is financially well off, they die, there's always the family members that are left behind are always saying, wondering, well, who's going to get what? Or how much? And sometimes within family members, and I know this from experience because I have a brother-in-law who's lost both parents, mother and father, in the span of a few months. This was a few years ago, this is about 4 or 5 years ago now, who lost both mother and father in the span of just a few months. And everything that his parents owned was divided among the siblings. But there were still issues. Well, why the house, and why this, and why not this, and why? And there was bickering going on, and it was just not a pretty sight. And so, needless to say, it's good to have things in order. But, you know, we got to always look at the recipient of all this. So let me read, and what I'm going to do with this text is, I'm going to make some comments relevant to us today. And then at the very end of my reading, I'm going to leave you with three thoughts, just for you to take with you as we're done, when we're finished here. You'll have three thoughts that I pray, and they will speak to you so that you can apply them to your own lives, okay? So let's read here. Let's go, if you have your Bibles, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 12. Now, before I read verse 12, I'm going to pick up in verse 11, which is where we left off last week. He said, he concluded the text of last week by saying, "Yet when I survey all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." Now, you might remember, last week I talked about that Solomon had said that he had built parks and houses and mansions, and he had male slaves and female slaves, and he had this, that, and the other, and he had a lot of possessions. He had a lot of goods. So he says, after it was all said and done, nothing was gained under the sun. It was all vanity of vanity, as some translation calls it. So now we pick it up in verse 12. "Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom, and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done?" So he takes a moment and he says, you know what? What else can anyone do that I haven't already done? So his mind, this is a very, he is very troubled at the fact that he says, if there is anything else to be conquered out there, what is it? I want to know. Because I not only have the power and the resources to find out what it is, but I just need to know what it is. He says, what else can anyone do that hasn't already been done? Okay? So look at verse 13. He says, now comes the analytical mind of Solomon. Listen to this. He says, I saw that wisdom is better than folly. Duh. Just as light is better than darkness. Yeah, of course. The wise man has eyes in his head, while the fool walks in darkness. But I came to realize, he said, that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said in my heart, this too is meaningless. For the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man too must die. Okay, now let me explain all that. Because I got what I thought was a good illustration for this. Solomon is saying this. Guys, can you listen up over here? Pay attention over here, okay? Please. So this is what Solomon is saying here. He's saying, you've got the wise man and you got the fool. The wise man walks in the light. The fool walks in the darkness. But you know what? The day's going to come when death is going to fall on both of them. This one's going to die just as much as this one's going to die. And when they die, it won't be long before neither one of them is remembered. So what's the use? So he says, right? But here's the catch. And this is where you really need to pay attention, okay? Otherwise, you're going to miss this whole thing. Because this is vital for you, especially your young minds. As you grow and you develop it, you got to retain as much as you can of this. And I pray to the Spirit that he could really teach you something here. Now, Solomon is talking as one who is doing things for his fellow man, or the people around him. In other words, this human wisdom that I have, that no other human man, or woman for that matter, can equal. Again, he's putting his wisdom on a horizontal sense. And everything that he has ever done, everything that he has ever bought, he's looking at it from a horizontal perspective, meaning here on earth. There's nobody here on earth that can do things better than me. There's no one here on earth that can be smarter than me, he says. I have more wisdom than anyone. Okay? So, what's the use with all this wisdom versus the fool when death is going to come to both of us and we're both going to die? Here's the difference. Solomon then realizes, later on as I'm going to read, that the wisdom that is important is the wisdom that works for God and not for self. Do you understand that? In other words, the wisdom or the purchases made, remember how it said that he bought male and female? He bought parks, he planted trees, he built rivers of water, blah, 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 blah. Those things, if they're done for the kingdom, they'll prosper, they'll be good. But if it's for here, for show off, if I want to buy a Mercedes Benz just so that I can drive to church and have other church members look at it and say, wow, those are hot wheels. That's just showing off. That's a foolish act. Okay? So, here's the idea. When you do things and when you exercise wisdom for God, you will be blessed. And you won't be long forgotten. Let me illustrate this to you. How many of you at school, make it relevant to you today, how many of you at school work real hard at getting good grades because you want to impress a classmate? How many of you do that? Anyone? I mean, I want to do my homework. I want to spend extra hours in the library. I really want to research on the internet so I can make this paper sound really good and look really good. I want to do all this. I want to really know. I want my classmate so-and-so to see that I get good grades. I'm doing this for other kids in my class so that they can see how smart I am. Anybody do that? Anyone does that? It's kind of dumb, isn't it? How many of you do that so that the teacher can see how smart you are? Raise your hand. Nobody? Okay, let me put it another way. How many of you work hard at doing your homework and getting good grades so that the teacher can see how hard you work and give you a good grade? Okay, hands are coming up now. Okay, I phrased it a little better, right? So your work is being done for the teacher, right? Right? Some of you do it for your parents. Really, right? It's for your parents, because your parents are saying, I want to see A's and I want to see B's. The problem is that your parents cannot give you those grades. So you shouldn't be doing it for them. You should be doing it for the teacher who gives you the grade. And the parents will see that. Now, the parents encourage the kids. I encourage my girls. Come on, girls, did you do your homework today? Homework, you know, got to get the homework done. Ta-da, that project. When is that project due? I mean, I'm a parent. I know what it's like. You know, I've been there when, you know, my wife will have to get in the car. I'm serious about this. When my wife will have to get in the car at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night and drive to Walmart to get a poster board. Because my youngest girl forgot that she has this project due tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, when did you know about this? Last week, and why did you wait until tonight? It's one of those ideas, you know. But the idea here that Solomon is saying is this, is that, you know, I'm going to die with all my wisdom. The fool is going to die with all his wisdom, and no one's going to remember us. When you graduate from school, from high school, and 2 years into college, 3 years into college, back at the high school where you graduated from, some of your classmates that might still be there, like if they're freshmen when you graduate, might not remember you. Some of the teachers might not remember you. But there might be one special teacher that will. Why? Because you worked hard for what she wanted you to work for or what he wanted you to do. Just like God. When we work hard for God, he's not going to forget that. When what we do, what we have, we say, throw it up towards God, that's not going to be forgotten. When Solomon here says, it won't be long before we are both forgotten, he's talking about this way we'll be forgotten, but not this way. And we're going to look at this as we move on. Now, follow with me on this one. Remember now, okay? It is God who must be the recipient of everything that we say and do, not someone else. In other words, God should be the one to get the glory, the recipient of the glory and honor that we pour out, and the blessing should be to God, not to someone else, as it were. I'll explain that a little bit more later if you're confused. Now, listen up. Verse 17. He goes on to say this. After saying that he, with all his wisdom, is going to die, just as the fool with his foolishness is going to die, he goes on to say this. So, I hated life. And he gives us a reason. He says, so I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. And all of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. He said, all the work, all the labor, everything that I have done is nothing more than chasing after the wind. It is useless. Some translation puts it vanity of vanity, meaningless. It's nothing more than meaningless. It's just, I hate life. Verse 18. First he says, I hated life because of the work that is done under the sun. All is meaningless. Now we'll look at verse 18. I hated all the things I had toiled under the sun. First he says, I hated life. Now he says, I hate all things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. I have to go ahead and do all this and do all this labor, and you know what? After it's all said and done, when I die, all I have accumulated is going to go to somebody else. Look what he goes on to say. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. Listen to verse 21. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. He says, I work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. I build an empire. I have parks with trees, and I got all this, I got this huge amount of manpower. I've got women and men working for me and children. I got this huge, enormous amount of wealth. And when I die, someone else is going to get it. Someone who has not done anything to deserve it, he says. Now, let me give you another illustration concerning school. Maybe some of you can relate to this. My youngest daughter this week had a project she was working on. It's one of those every year I see it. You know, the solar system. You know, how many of you have done solar systems? You know, you got the box and you got the little, all the planets in there. So my youngest daughter is working on this solar system project. She's got it all laid out. And so she puts on the outside of the box her name and the name of two other students. So my wife says, oh, why is so-and-so's name on here? Oh, because this project is for the three of us. So my wife says, oh, so in what way did they contribute to this project? Oh, no, they just told me to do it. I'm doing it, and they told me to put their name on it. Well, that's pretty interesting. So she's doing the project, and the girls are going to get credit for it. Now, I don't know if at some point this year they'll switch where one of the other girls will do a project and then they'll put my daughter's name on. I don't know if that's the case or not. I have no idea. But my point is this, that one person is doing all the work, purchasing all the items needed to complete this project, and someone else is going to get the credit for it that didn't lift a finger to do it. And so Solomon here is saying, you know, I worked hard all my life to earn, to save this, to accumulate this, to have this, 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 and this. And you know what's going to happen? When I die, it's going to go to someone else who never lifted a finger. That's what he says here. He says, for a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone else who has not worked for it. That's a shame. This is going to go, again, because, you know why? Because Solomon is thinking in the horizontal. Now, some gentleman, well-known here in Quincy, I think, named Flaherty, I think, is it Flaherty? Flatley. He died recently, about a year or 2 years ago or something. You know what he did? He left millions of dollars to the Catholic Church. In fact, if you drive on 93 South, on the left-hand side, you'll see this big, huge building that the Catholic Church built. It's not a church, but it's a Catholic facility for different things and ministries, and it has this big cross. It's on the left-hand side on 93 South as you're going to 128. I see it every morning when I go to work. But Flatley left millions of dollars to the Archdiocese of Boston or something like that. Why? Why did he do that? Because he, in his mind, he said, you know what? He might have left some money to his family. I have no doubt that he did. I'm sure he did. But he said, you know what? It's not all about them. It's about God, too. and so he left this money. Regardless of what we think of the Catholic Church, that's irrelevant at this point. My point is that he was not only thinking about this horizontal on us, humanistically speaking, he thought about God as well. He says, you know what? I want to leave some money so that the Catholic Church can do something with it for a good cause. And other people do the same thing. But there are some that don't think that way. They only think this way. It's got to be, you know, what I have, what I'm going to leave behind, it's got to be for people. If I own this, my question is, would I leave this to a church or would I leave it to a family member? Chances are some people would say, well, I'm going to leave this to one of my daughters or my sons or someone that could use it. Well, what about a church? What about a nonprofit organization that could use a piece of equipment like this that could be put to good use? And, you know, but we always think in people. Solomon is here doing the same thing. He's thinking about people. Then he goes on to say in verse 22, what does a man get for all his toil, all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? It's a question. What does he get? Verse 23 says, all his days his work is pain and grief. Even at night his mind does not find rest to it. This too is meaningless, he says. Verse 24. A man can do nothing better. Now, this is where it gets good. Now, listen. This is where the Spirit of God comes and hits Solomon right between the eyes. Listen to what he says. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This, too, I see. It is from the hand of God. There's a difference now. If a man can find satisfaction in his work, drink, and be happy, he says, this comes from the hand of God. He's realizing everything that I own, everything that I have, even though I worked hard for, it's been because of the power and strength God has given me. Listen to what he goes on to say here as well. In verse 24, to the man... Okay, here we go, 25. For without him, meaning God, for without God, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Basically, this is what he's saying. To the foolish person who's out there doing this, that, the other, and, you know, gathering all that, to the foolish, fool guy who's working hard to do this, in the end, God will see to it that all the good that he has ultimately ends up in the hands of those who please God. Okay, so where do we go with all this? Let me close that, take out these notes, and say this to you. You're young, I understand that. I wish I was your age and had the little wisdom that I have. But let me say this. You're getting older. Every day that goes by, you get older and older and older. And you get more challenges. But here's what I want to challenge you with. When you look at wisdom, when you go to school and you sit there and you're paying attention to the teacher, and you sit there and the teacher's asking questions, you raise your hand, and you answer the question, and you're doing all that. We need that wisdom. We need this wisdom here. We have to have this wisdom. God created us to develop this kind of wisdom. When I say this wisdom, I'm meaning human wisdom. The wisdom to know whether to take this job or that job, to go to this college or that college. Those humanistic wisdom we do need. We need to develop our minds. We need to expand. We need to make them better. That is vital and is very important. But we also need this wisdom. Because if we can get this wisdom from God, it will help us in this direction as well. If we try to go this way and up, it's not going to work. Not too many people... Not too many people do an L like this. How many people do an L like this? You know anyone that does an L like that? You know, when you write love, you go like this, don't you? Don't you? Right? Not too many people write love like this. I mean, it'd be kind of strange. But you know, it's if we can get the wisdom of God, wisdom of God, that's God in Greek, to come down to us. I mean, come down rather this way. Then we can take it and go this way, and use the wisdom of every day for everyday life. Okay? But we need it. We this is important for us. This is vital. Because we don't want to be a fool. We don't want people to say, you bought that? I mean, for example, here's the foolish thing that a person can do. They have a 4.0, they graduated from high school with great high honors, the best you can get. And they choose a college that, they turn down a big prestigious, you know, Ivory college or something like that, like Princeton or whatever. They apply for Harvard and they got accepted. They say, nah, I think I'll go to Mass State Community College. What? What are you, dumb? I mean, you got accepted to Harvard College and you're going here to Mass Bay Community College or Massasoit? What are you thinking about? So we need good wisdom to make good decisions in life. We really do need this. But it has to come from here, from God. Okay? So I'm not a good... I'll erase it afterwards. But so this is very important. Please remember, we need to go to God in prayer. Even when you sit there at 8:15 in the morning and you sit in your home room and you're going to start your day, you don't have to go like this. You can just sit there and your books out, your pen out, and you can just, and you know, no one has to hear you, just in your own mind, Father, this is a brand new day and I just hope I can really do really good in class today and get all my assignments done, pass the test, do the quiz, blah, 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 and do well. You know what I mean? That's what we need here. Let me leave you with these three thoughts as we wrap it up here. Okay, number one, please remember this. What we have comes from God, from the hand of God. Okay, we can toil, work, study all that we want. Spend hours in the library, be in front of that computer doing research and coming up with all these different, you know, backgrounds on a paper that we're going to do. But remember, everything that we have comes from God. The mind, the intellect, the will to do something, that comes from God. Even the skill. Solomon talked about wisdom, knowledge, and skill. The skill to do a craft. The skill to do something that it comes out really, really good. We can boast about that skill, but ultimately, it comes from God. For me, the teaching or the preaching of God's Word, that's something that I didn't go to seminary and say, you know, make me the best preacher ever. No, it can't. There is always someone better out there, but God has given me, I like to think, the gift to just do the best that I can in presenting His messages to His people. So what we have comes directly from the hand of God. Number two, what we do must be acceptable into the hands of God. Okay? Now, don't miss that one. Okay? What we do must be acceptable into the hands of God. Okay, we can't do sloppy things and present it to God. We find in Malachi chapter 3 where the high priest of the temple brought blemished sacrifices to God, and God said, you're bringing that to me? I don't want that. That lamb that you're presenting to me has a blemish. You present to me pure sacrifices. So again, what we give to God, what we do to God, what we give to God, rather, must be something that is worthy to be presented to God. You don't take a leftover a sweater, a Hollister or an American Eagle sweatshirt that has been worn and used, and you can see that it's been worn and used and it's old, and give it to a friend as a gift, right? You won't do that. That's not disgusting, but it's really not classy. You don't do that as a gift. Or you go out there and buy something new for them. Well, what we present to God must be able to be acceptable to God. Number three, what pleases God is what we must give Him. We must give to God what pleases God, what God wants. God really wants us to give Him our best. Give Him our attention. Give Him just good resources. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to focus on heaven. Now, I'm going to close with this one verse. I'm just going to read it, but it's found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. Colossians 3, 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We like to look at this. Okay. We're putting together a will, or we're doing something. We want to leave something behind, or we want to pursue a career in this direction, and we're forgetting God. You know, we're forgetting God. It's like, okay, what does God have to say about this? Missionaries. How many people here are thinking about becoming missionaries, going back, going somewhere to another country and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean, that's something that I don't hear much being talked about anymore, becoming missionaries. But that's what I have for you today. Remember, please, wisdom from God coming down to us is wisdom that we can bring out into the world that would ultimately bring glory to God. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Father, again, Lord, we thank You. Solomon here challenges us, and he says, what good is it if we just focus on this earth alone? If everything that we work for, only people here on earth will get the benefit of it. Yes, people will get blessed by some of the things that we can say and do, but we shouldn't be looking just at them. We should be looking at God. Because when we stand before God, God's going to say, you know what? You're a nice person. But you really focused on all these people and you never once thought about me. You just thought about this and you thought about, you know, what am I going to do here, da, 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 da. And not once did you think about God. In your decisions, in your life, what did you do to really show that I was giving you wisdom? What did you do? How did people know that your wisdom was coming from above? I pray for these young people here, Lord. Too young, perhaps. Some might be still too young to really, really grasp a lot of what I said here today. But I pray, Father, I know that the Holy Spirit can take something that's profound and make it so simple into the heart of children. Even Jesus said, suffer the little ones not to, don't keep the little ones from coming to me, basically, is what he said. Suffer not the little ones to come to me. He wanted them. He sat them on his lap. So it doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you're paying attention, and the Spirit will minister to you. Sometimes adults can say, oh, that was just way too much for them. You're not the Spirit. You are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do anything. Sometimes young people can understand better than adults. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. That's not my job. My job is to deliver God's message. Spirit does the rest. So, Father God, I pray that this would have been productive to as many as You would like, Father. May they do something with what they've heard. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.